Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show. Our email address, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Thanks for tuning in today. Ball State's 25th Annual Guitar Festival opens on Sunday with a faculty recital by Professor Paul Riley. That's at 7:30 p.m. Sunday in Sursa Performance Hall. The festival continues Monday and Tuesday. For a preview, I visited Professor Riley, who started as a jazz musician and now teaches classical guitar. For a serious musician, he sure has a good sense of humor. We were setting up for the interview, and I noticed some kind of wooden footstool hammered together with what looked like 2x4s. That turned into a story about the time that Andre Segovia, the virtuoso Spanish classical guitarist, came to Ball State.
It's called a footstool, yeah. Uh-huh. And when guitarists sit, they sit with their left foot elevated. Andre Segovia, when he came to Emmons Auditorium, he insisted upon having a footstool made for him. Well, obviously, we made it and covered it in black cloth, and he used it for his concert. And I keep it here, hoping that the magic of Segovia will come through the feet of my students, and they will play better.
Does it ever work?
No.
What was Segovia like?
Oh, he's a wonderful person. I mean, he was just a great artist, and I've heard him in Chicago, and I heard him here, and it was just fantastic.
But there was something about a cough in the
audience. Oh, yeah, yeah. During one of his pieces he was playing, and the audience was in February, and it was just colds going around, and everybody was coughing, and coughing rather loudly, and he stopped in the middle of a piece. He took out a handkerchief, put it over his mouth, coughed like this, you know, and said, "This is how you should cough." He put the handkerchief back and continued. And the audience shut up after
now,
that.
Now, are musicians as a class, are they?
Sometimes. Segovia was particularly annoyed about audiences being loud. And, you know, the guitar is not a loud instrument. And Emmons is, of course, a big hall. And he doesn't amplify. He refuses to do that, which a lot of guitar players do. They just will not amplify. I mean, the whole idea of classic guitar is it's an acoustic instrument. And as a result, the audience was allowed that day, and he just simply had enough of it and stopped.
What's it mean to say classical guitar? Those of us raised on Led Zeppelin and the like, we have our idea what guitar is.
Most people don't realize how old the guitar is, how far back it goes in terms of history. And the earliest instruments were these four-string Baroque guitars, and this would be back in 1500s. And they were actually four courses. They were double strings and graduated to five and then graduated to six courses and then finally six single strings. But even then, the instrument was much smaller than the instrument of today. And the true classic guitar wasn't really built until about 1870 or so by a man by the name of Antonio Torres. And he built what we now consider to be a full-size classical guitar. And the term classical simply comes from that history and the fact that composers such as Fernando Sor, Mario Giordani during the classical period wrote music for what is our present six-string classic instrument. And that's two of the pieces I'm playing on my program are one by Fernando Sor and one by Mario Giordani.
Can you show us something with the instrument?
One of the things that the guitar is so good at is doing different sounds. And as an example, I can play this note, and I can play the same note, and get totally different sounds.
That's the same string.
Same string, same note, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not even different fingers. And as a result, I use color. All guitar players use color to amplify their phrases because the volume of the instrument is small. So we color the sound. And as a perfect example, one of the greatest classes I ever took as an undergraduate was orchestration, which is basically how to write things for an orchestra. And by using my ideas about color and how it applies to different instruments, I applied that to the sound of the guitar. The difference is the timbre. The actual series of overtones is different. And as a result, that note probably sounds higher in pitch.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the overtones, the amount of overtones that are in that note that make it sound higher and also make it sound brighter.
It's more complicated than we realized. Mm-hmm. Have you always been a classical guitarist, or were you ever, you know, at the front of a metal band somewhere?
I started out as a jazz guitar player. Mm-hmm. And I made my living in Chicago playing in a small jazz club for a couple of years to make ends meet as I was a student. And I realized that I was going to have to make a decision. And I was really a classical guitarist at heart and changed. I mean, I really devoted the rest of my life to classical guitar.
Are there elements or techniques, or has anything of the classical guitar survived into the modern music that people would hear today? Do you ever hear a piece in popular music and go and think to yourself, aha?
The interesting thing about the study of classical guitar is that there are some really fantastic guitar players out there who play jazz and rock and roll and are in the heavy metal bands who've actually studied classical guitar. And as a result, they've increased their ability technically, because the study of classical guitar is a study of economy and how the machinery works. You know, one thing that's obviously different about a guitar player versus a piano, for example, is the piano is a bunch of levers and springs. I'm not suggesting that piano players don't have that, but they have the machine.
We're going to get angry calls from the piano lobby.
I'm sure we are. But at any rate, I only use my fingers, and my fingers are the insides of a piano. And as a result, they have to be well trained, and they have to be disciplined to move in exactly the right way. Not to suggest, once again, that pianists don't do that.
Oh, sure. But, dissing them.
It's just different.
Now, let me ask you, among those, let's say, of rock guitarists who have been classically trained, Trey Anastasio, would he a fish? Wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim Hall is probably one of the great jazz players. Pat Metheny, jazz player. Lee Ritenour, also jazz player. These are some really great jazz players who studied classical guitar and made it help them, you know, and as a result, their technique is more formed. They're more able to do other things.
Ball State music professor Paul Riley, the first performer in the 25th Annual Guitar Festival, starting Sunday at 7:30 in Sursa Performance Hall and continuing Monday and Tuesday. Next, a short detour to the south side of Muncie for a story about one of Muncie's more unusual attractions. Then, we'll talk with Paul Riley about a rock guitarist he really likes, Jeff Beck, and the work that Riley has done with the music of Lady Gaga. But first, here's one of the pieces Professor Riley will be playing on Sunday.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Time for a detour. You know, we've all seen those roadside attractions, the giant fruit or animal statue in the middle of nowhere. Well, it turns out Muncie has its own roadside attraction, kind of. While driving down Southport Avenue, you may be surprised to see statues of animals as familiar as deer and as exotic as gorillas in the small yard of a Muncie residence, all painted yellow and with a yellow smiley face. This is the work of Kathy Hathaway and her husband Steve. Surrounding their property is a fence that is likewise covered in smiley faces, each one reflecting a different holiday. Indiana Weekend contributor Ian Shepherd was driving by and just had to stop and talk with Kathy Hathaway.
My niece and my granddaughter started this smiley face stuff. My niece gave me the one in the window. And 3 years before that, my granddaughter gave me an ashtray with a smiley face. But the window one really took off. People saw it and said, well, that looks so friendly. And I babysitted for a lady that owned Stone Image, and her name's Lori Wright, and she's used to sell these concrete statues. And I got interested in it. I mean, I fought it because, you know, they said, oh, your yard needs some of these concrete animals. And I finally gave in. And so as I babysitted, instead of paying me, you know, she gave me an animal, you know, one of the concrete animals. And so everybody started making comments. And the fence, the smiley faces on the fence, that came after 9/11. We did the 4th of July because my husband's real patriotic. And after we did that, somebody stopped out in the street and said, oh, were you going to do all the holidays? We weren't intending to, but we thought, well, you know, we can do some of them. And so we started down the fence.
Are there any pieces that are a particular favorite of yours?
Yes, the gorilla is my favorite. Now, the white dog, we had a white German Shepherd. His name was Pacer. And he died kind of violently. And so that's kind of his memorial. He's not under there, by the way.
I'll just describe the statues you have around here.
Okay. Well, now we did our mailbox, too, and put a smile on it. I told you about the white dog. The hippo, he weighs 2,000 pounds.
Wow.
Yes.
How do you get that here?
They brought it in on a hydraulic lift, and they stopped traffic. And the girl I babysit for, her dad brought it out here. He said, now, Kathy, tell me exactly how you want it, because once it's down, it's down. And it was off just a hair, but, you know, I didn't tell him.
So do you paint these once they're here, or do you paint them before you move them?
No, I paint them after they've been here. And actually, I've only painted them one time. And this spring, my kids are going to come over and power spray them, get the paint off, and start over. Now, you know there was an objection over the fire hydrant, don't you?
No, I was actually curious about that. Over there, you have a fire hydrant. It's painted mostly red, yellow, but also red and blue.
And it's right directly across from the real hydrant. And so I had called the fire department before I got this one and wanted to know, could I paint a smile on their fire hydrant? Oh, no, you can't do that. I said, that's fine, I'll get my own. And so when I did, I don't know if they were watching or what, but I got a phone call and said that was dangerous. That what if there was a fire and they tried to hook it up to the wrong hydrant? I said, really? Your firemen are that stupid that they don't know that the fire hydrant would not be on personal property? It's the one by the street. You know, and they act like they was going to try to make me take it down. I said, I'm not taking it down.
How long ago was that?
How long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, that was when, probably in 2004. Yeah, I do what I want to on my property. Now, of course, this blue pony right here, it used to be yellow. But the year the Colts went to the Super Bowl, I can't tell you how many people stopped and said, now, if the Colts win the Super Bowl, you're going to paint that blue? I hadn't planned on it, but I said yes.
I like how you made the horseshoe into a smiley face.
Of course.
You got to work it in there somehow.
Absolutely. Oh, and if you notice, these are, what do they call, Steve? The wire of the
rebar.
These are rebar in the ground about 4 foot. About 2005, some kids come by and they turned over my giraffe and broke him. Of course, it upset me and I was crying, and my husband's son said, well, we'll fix this where they can't do it again. And so not only did they dig holes, but they filled it with concrete, put that rebar in, and you can't turn this over.
You had someone actually come here and vandalize your property. How often does this happen?
That's the only time it ever happened.
So they've all remained intact since they've been put in place.
Yeah. Like I said, most people like them.
So I'm just curious. Obviously, the worst experiences would be the vandalism. What are some of the best experiences you've had because of these?
Well, see, we call them slow movers. People go by that haven't seen them go real slow and be taking pictures and stuff. But my favorite one was, my son was here too, is a semi from Vegas. And he stopped right in front of my kitchen window. And that used to be a bay window, by the way, full of smiley faces. And this trucker was leaning out his window taking pictures, probably had kids, wanted to show them. And he had traffic stopped. He took all his pictures and he started his truck up again, slammed on his brakes because he saw the ones in the front. Yeah, so I'm as far as Vegas. I went to test drive a yellow Volkswagen one day, and he lets me have any car. I've picked every car. We've been married 33 years. He's never picked a car. And I come test driving this yellow Volkswagen. He wouldn't leave the porch. He said, I'm not getting in that. You cannot have it. that kind of money and you're going to draw two eyes and a smile on it? No. And he wouldn't even go test drive. He said, you can't have that one. No yellow car for me. Because he knows what I'd do to it. If it's yellow, it's getting a smile on it.
Maybe you can buy one used one day.
I'd drive it. I would have no problem with a smile on it.
Okay. Well, is there anything you like to add?
Well, all I'll say is if it makes people happy, and it does, like 85%, then that makes my day. What better thing can you do but make people happy? I didn't think that was going to be my legacy, but it's not a bad one, huh?
That's Kathy Hathaway from Southport Avenue in Muncie, talking with our Ian Shepherd about her yard, filled with animal statues decorated with, of all things, smiley faces, surrounded by a fence also covered in smiley faces. Another roadside attraction, you might say, from Indiana Weekend.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself, because I love you. Yes, I do.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, right here on Indiana Public Radio.
So we're talking today with Ball State music professor Paul Riley, a classical guitarist and the first performer in the 25th Annual Guitar Festival starting Sunday night at 7:30 in Sursa Performance Hall. He gave us a short tour of some interesting techniques, along with a word about one of his favorite guitarists, Jeff Beck.
Some people are familiar with Spanish guitar. I mean, a particular sound. What is that that we're hearing?
Well, the Defia piece represents a pretty interesting use of the Spanish instrument, where you have these kind of sounds and that what we call rasgueado, which, of course, interestingly enough, comes from flamenco guitar players, also Spanish, and it's a particular technique. The term rasgueado means rasping. It's using the back of the nails to play the notes as opposed to the front of the nails.
It almost sounds like there's almost a percussive bump, driving, propulsive.
The challenge with rasgueado is to get all three fingers to do it in a fan. So you hear that three-note figure. And, if you include thumb, you're going to hear... so on.
Now, there's a tradition in music of, I guess you would say, kind of repurposing things. I mean, I think of Sousa marches turned into bluegrass songs or something like that. Are we still borrowing from the classical greats? You know, if you go way back, Switched on Bach. Remember they used synthesizers and...
You bring up a little bit of a funny story because about a year ago, Lady Gaga was... absolutely in vogue, one of the pieces that she did, I arranged for four guitars, and we actually performed it. The guitar quartet performed it last year, and we're not doing it this year.
Music borrows from itself, over and over and over again, right? There's sort of an upwelling of creative possibilities.
Yeah,
you borrowed from Lady Gaga.
All the students loved it. They thought it was great. We played it in a general recital hour where there were lots of Ball State students. We got a standing ovation.
Bad Romance. This is the Lady Gaga fugue.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Can we hear just a little bit of it?
Well, it was arranged for four guitars.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. All you're going to hear is the tune.
That must have been fun.
Oh, it was great fun. Yeah. And like I say, arranging it was even more fun because you had to figure out who to play what and how it worked and that kind of thing.
That's a way to help people experience.
Exactly, yeah. And I think one of the great things about that was, like I say, the student reaction was just wonderful. And I've subsequently, I don't know where this is going to go yet, but I've set it up to Matt Lyon to arrange for four tubas. And somehow the Lady Gaga fugue for four tubas sounds even more spectacular.
Well, IU has the Tuba Santas.
That's
you may be aware, right?
This, so this will be
we have the Ball State.
The Lady Gaga tuba players. There's something.
Is there any rock guitar or any popular guitar music or players that you like?
John Scofield is one of my favorite jazz players. Pat Metheny, of course. Jim Hall. These are all great jazz players. Those are three of my probably all-time favorites, Jeff Beck, who was sort of a mixed bag, jazz, classical, everything, guitar player, wonderful player.
Well, Jeff Beck is somebody that rock listeners would know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you like about Beck?
His creativity. I mean, he does some wonderful things. I don't know if you're familiar with his more recent CD with the electric guitar and orchestra, and it's just fantastic.
Is there one of those numbers you can think of?
He does a transcription of an opera aria for electric guitar. It's just out of sight, fantastic.
Yeah. What do you hear when you listen to that? Are you noticing the technique? Or are you carried off by the melody?
I'm carried off by the way he treats the material. It's amazing. You know, and one thing, you know, about electric guitar versus a classic instrument, because the strings are steel and metal, rather, you know, it has a totally different sustain. And you can, on a particular passage, you can make a note last forever just by using the technique, the technical side of the instrument and the electronics. So it's just something that we can't do, and it's really quite cool.
The guitar in its more or less present form has been around since the 1870s.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then its ancestors go much further back. Have we done everything with the guitar we can?
You've asked another very interesting question, because some of the newest classical guitars are made internally. The insides of the instrument are made drastically different than the instrument that I'm playing today. This particular guitar is basically an old Torres instrument back from 1900s or so. Some of the newest instruments are made with a totally different bracing, which is made out of balsa wood and carbon fibers.
Carbon fiber and guitars.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And
from jet planes to...
Yeah, the top is paper thin, and it vibrates in a totally different way. The theory being that because the top is moving more in synchronization, the sound is louder. The interesting thing about it is the sound is also rather different. And as a traditionalist, I personally prefer the older designed instruments.
Professor Paul Riley of Ball State University, a music professor and classical guitarist, opening as the first performer in the 25th Annual Guitar Festival starting Sunday night at 7:30 at Sursa. The performance continues Monday and Tuesday, no charge to attend. And now, since we're talking about great guitar players, how about Rick Emmett? Bet you can't guess what band he was in. Hey, that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. If you'd like more information or have an idea of somebody we should talk with or someplace we should go. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.